Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bandwagon Nerds is taped in front of a live studio audience. Thank you. Hello again, fellow basement dwellers. This is your good friend, Patrick O'Dowd, welcoming you in to another edition of Bandwagon Nerds. Bandwagon Nerds is, of course, part of the Chairshot Radio Network on thechairshot.com, where we encourage you to always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And we are here, episode 151. That's right, last week, 150 in the books. A rather pedestrian, typical episode of Bandwagon Nerds, other than us patting ourselves on the back a little bit. Because as I said last week, I'm starting to feel like the 50s might not be quite as special anymore. I feel like now, just excited about the centuries. So episode 200 on the horizon. We are coming close to the end of our third year. Our third year anniversary is about to begin as we are six episodes away, if you include this episode. And I am joined this week by our OGs, our lawyer himself, David Ungar, our live studio audience, and Mr. Saturday Night PC Tunney. And the march to year to the end of year three is in full gear, fellas. 3 years on this little radio network we call the Chair Shot. So good for us.
This episode can be the Bacardi of Bandwagon Nerds 151. Right, Tony? Right? See what I did there?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I got you. I'm not a rum guy, though. Sorry.
Don't not like Ryan Reynolds. Just...
This terrible pun brought to you by the lawyer David Ungar and responded to by PC Funny.
So we're both getting booed, Tony, again.
Well, here's the bright side, fellas.
Get used to it.
I talked about this earlier in the day, and it's funny because Dave and I recorded a show that will take place after the show, but then we always talk about recording this show on the show that takes place after the show. So it's a lot of fun.
It's very fourth dimensional of us, yes.
Right. I'm like She-Hulk. I like to break the fourth wall. I'm not going to be here next week, so you guys get all of the free reign you would like on ripping on old Patrick O'Dowd. And in fact, I encourage it. You know, when the dictator's away, the bandwagon will play.
I'm going to be super wasted next week, Dave. The Packer game's at 8:30 in the morning.
Perfect, man. That's awesome.
Oh, is it an overseas game? It's London game?
Yeah, yeah. Green Bay's the last.
Yeah, they finally got kicked over there.
The last team to play in London, apparently.
Wow. Is that game really a big deal? Like, what was – I didn't watch because we –
There was one this morning.
I know there was one this morning. I watched, like, 30 seconds of it, and I could hear crowd noise. But honestly, in the world, like I'm assuming it continues to bring in revenue or the NFL wouldn't continue to do it. Yes, we are talking sports on the Nerd Podcast. But is it really like who goes to that? Like, who's the Minnesota Viking fan going to is it still an oddity in Britain? Like, these are the questions I have.
The stadium was full. Okay? Stadium sure. was full.
Was it papered? Was it like WCW in 1992? It's for free.
I know there one game's in Germany this year too, I think. So I think they're just kind of global marketing, you know.
Yeah, I guess so. And they're trying to make it a world sport. I don't think they're going to ever overtake football. I saw somebody apparently today, some team had like a double hat trick, like two players scored.
Oh, goals. Yeah. City beat United 6-3. So 9 goals was not seen coming.
That's a shootout, folks. That's a shootout.
It's like a whole season of football for like some MLS teams.
All right, so there you go, folks. Bandwagon Nerds giving you your fix on the NFL and the Premier League over there in Britain. Go us. We cover it all. We are nerds in multiple directions, and I'm excited about this week's episode of Bandwagon Nerds because we are going to talk about Lock and Key Season 3, the final season. Tunney's nipples have now dropped. They are no longer hard and perky.
Shrinkage.
He is not excited about this. Yeah, sad. He needs a blue chew or something like that for nipples, whatever that is. We have a couple of trailer parks. One piece of the trailer park today, by the way, is definitely going to be one we're going to go in depth on as the internet blew up about midweek. And then we're going to talk a lot of Marvel in the back half before we once again revisit our good friends at Warner Brothers Discovery. And Dave wants to be mad about it. I don't know if I'm mad anymore so much as I'm like, it kind of is what it is. And not really sounding alarm bells at this point. I'm used to it. So I'm used to it, but like, well, we'll get into it later. We'll get into it at the end of the show. What we are going to do first, though, and I forgot to grab the music. I don't have it anymore. So
I've got it. Don't worry about it, Pat.
You got it?
I got it.
Here's the thing about talking about Lock and Key that I find so hilarious as we give Tony a hard time about this. Like, he's the one who brought the music to the show the first time we were covering season one. And so, Tony, I love you, man. And I know you're not excited about this. I honestly, watching this episode, I was like, this episode does nothing to get Tony's interest back into Lock and Key, because I will concede this point. The Lock family and everybody that has anything to do with these keys basically do the dumbest possible things with these keys in an effort to move a story forward. And we just kind of did it all over again. We just got different demons. You know, Dodge will come back eventually, I'm assuming. Who knows? I can't imagine you not having Dodge in the series. But, you know, it's like the whole Locke family now, like Nina Locke now, gets to do dumb shit with keys, just like the rest of the Locke family. The other thing I found really interesting is, how is it that Jackson Robert Scott does not look like he's 47 yet? Like, how have they managed to keep him looking relatively childlike in this as well? Like, when did they film season 3? Like, does anybody know when that happened? Was it 3 years ago? Because he looks still kind of like he looks age appropriate for what they're still trying to do with him. But yeah, I mean, other than that, we got introduced to the Wheeler sisters, two new demons that live in the snow globe. We got a revisit of Frederick Gideon, played by Kevin Durant, a character actor that you've seen in a lot of other stuff, but never seen as a featured player. And, you know, we come back to this ahead of of a wedding. I can't remember the guy's name, of the brother-in-law, Duncan's wedding is coming up We know that Tyler Locke is away. He's in what, Utah?
Montana.
I want to say, or somewhere out west.
He's in Montana, I think.
Montana, that's right. That is state far away with cows. Like, that's what I knew going on.
Wyoming.
Wyoming, there you go. Building houses. There is a young woman who has taken an interest in him, but there, you know, he's all sad. Because, you know, we can't not have a 19 to 20 year old love story. Like, that's just part of the thing. Kinsey Locke is sort of taking on the responsible caretaker of the keys role. She gets to be the big hero in this. And we spend this episode was very much like sort of a catch-up filler episode, introducing some new characters, laying the foundation of some problems. Ellie Whedon is back, and she's traumatized in some way, not right, and people aren't quite figuring it out. It was kind of a ho-hum episode and a ho-hum start to this season. And it's only 8 episodes long, guys. I was looking at this. It's only 8 episodes long. And Tony, here's the other thing. You know, you wipe your brow. I looked at the runtime. About halfway through this, the runtime's dropped to like 35 minutes. Like 30, 35 minutes instead of damn near an hour. So I don't know what the deal is, but this episode really did not, I'll agree, it didn't really hype me too much for this final season. So clearly Gideon figured out something when he squeezed a couple of keys together, opened up some weird fissure that looks like it opens up a gate to that dimension where the demons come from. Dave, what were your thoughts on Locke? This could be the shortest episode review in like the history of the program. I don't know.
I like the episode. I didn't have the issues with it that you guys apparently do. Yeah, the stuff with the sisters and the snow globes, a little bit odd. You know, anytime they find a key, they have to insert it somewhere because, you know, keys, locks, that sort of thing. Yeah, Tony. But I thought it was okay. I mean, kind of setting the groundwork that, you know, Gideon's looking for something. Eden's at the bottom of the well. She's dead. They got some keys. They go and hang out, have some campfire chat about, you know, I don't care how you get the keys, get the rest of them. It is interesting that Nina is now fully aware of what's going on and has embraced the magic and has learned from her mistakes with the mirror key and uses that to great efficacy against the sisters. The thing about this episode that interests me the most is Tyler. And I'll tell you why, because I get the impression from the sisters talking about when they take the key from Nina and they make such a big deal about the fact that she's not a bloodborne Locke, that she married in, so they can take the keys from her. It's clear to me that in this episode, Tyler remembers something. Now, the extent of his memory, I don't know, but he's certainly gun shy with this girl, probably because he still remembers Jackie and her dying in season 2. And I'm just kind of, I'm guessing that a bloodborne Locke may not suffer memory loss of magic like the other people have. And I'm guessing that might be something going on because Tyler clearly remembers what's happened, even though they don't specifically say it, but you get the idea. Okay, he knows what's happened. He's deliberately distancing himself away from his siblings. He's shunning the advances of this girl who's clearly, you know, she's like, hey, I'm going to ask you every day until you come over and hang out with me and, you know, do things, apparently. But I didn't mind the episode. I thought, okay, it's the first one. Let's see where they go from here. Gideon's found a way to open the demon dimension by smashing a couple keys together. What happens when you smash 3 together? Who knows? I didn't mind the episode. It's not world ending or world shattering, but it was fine. A little better than fine. I'm not using your terminology, Pat. A little better than fine.
It was okay. Can you play my music real quick, Tony?
I can't.
Greg DeMarco gave me. What? You can't?
No, I even sent out the tweet. I mean, I don't think it's going to work. Can you hear this?
No, yeah. No, Miz.
Dude, DP worked on it for like two hours last night and couldn't figure out what's up with the sound. So PC Tiny will be a new laptop sooner than later. So no, I know we all know you came 2K. So
I did.
Send me the sound bite, Tony. I'll insert that. There you go.
Oh, okay. That's what she said.
Just, yeah. Other foundational episodes have had me more intrigued by a season. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah. It was okay. It's just, you want to know my biggest problem is, like, what happened to, like, the acting? And what happened to, like, the choreography of, like, that was one of the worst fucking fights ever between those two sisters and the mom. I mean, that was so, it was like, oh, he punched you, and then I pushed you, and then you picked her up and threw her in the fucking mirror. I mean, it was just, it was lazy. And I don't know.
Now it's credit just, where credit's due. The Wheeler sisters, Ada and Dorothy.
Ada and Dorothy, yeah.
Who will be back. I can't assume they're not going to, like, well, they're in the mirror now. Yeah. You can't introduce those characters and then not have them come back. But right?
The one element we haven't touched on yet, and Tyler is obviously, I feel like he'll take that girl with him to the wedding, right? And then that's kind of where the season will go from there. But Ellie's back, and she's kind of getting all these different reactions from people around town. So I wonder if we're going to see some leftover effects from her being floating in the fucking ether for however long she was.
What did they say? They found her wandering around outside of Pittsburgh, probably wearing a Baltimore Ravens jersey or
that's
something.
That's the rumor. That's the story right. That everybody, yeah, print a Raven. So, I mean, we'll see. I hope they can put a nice bow on it just because we are watching it. We are covering it. But yeah, Patrick, you hit it on the head that they didn't really wow you with this first episode.
Right. I wanted to be excited and they failed. And that's unfortunate because I, unlike you, and I think Dave and I agreed, thought season two was pretty solid and had this new character, this new threat. Let's talk about Gideon a little bit. He does seem a little disoriented. Right, he didn't know what these keys were.
What two keys did he have that he pulled together? Which one did Eden have at the bottom of the well, and then which one did he already have? Because
I feel like he had the anywhere key, right? Like, didn't he have the anywhere key?
You have to go back to season two and watch to try and figure out which one is which. And that is a problem right now, is there's so many keys keeping track of, like, this kind of conversation. Which key is which? You can't just tell. I mean, if you're, you know, paying really close attention, you can tell just the way the key is shaped. But other than that, it's hard to figure out which key is which.
Gideon has the creation and head key.
Oh, the head key. Yeah, interesting. The head key I think is interesting because that's the one that lets you into other people's minds. The creation key, pretty self-explanatory. We'll have to see what happens there, but just a slow go. And as I look at this, I'm trying not to read too much into season sort of plays out. Like, everything starts to get shorter and shorter. Like, what are they doing?
Think about that. I mean, the creation and head key together allow you to open that portal and use it like a head key. You know what I mean? Like, for that portal. Right. So just kind of, I don't know if any more common sense would enter into this series like that, but, you know, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. Yes. And in seven episodes.
Dave's hating on my hate.
It's okay.
You're entitled to your hate, Dave, buddy.
Dave, this is for you. All right. Hopefully this picks up for us. Hopefully we're not sitting there blah. This will hurt our ratings. We will lose one of our 27 listeners if these reviews continue to go in the direction that they go. And we know that we can't have 27 listeners. Like, we can't lose one, Dave. Like,
hey, listen.
We've gone this far.
If it doesn't get any better, we can always bring in Platt for his stunning reviews of Lock and Key.
Which will probably get higher ratings. Platt, so.
You know, it's true. He probably would get higher ratings if we had him just review Lock and Key
it'll pick up. I'm sure of it.
It's gotta pick up because it's the damn finale, right? Like, you gotta finish strong. We've known this is the end. And they knew this was the end going into the recording or, you know, into the filming of the season. It's the same sort of story with Umbrella Academy. At least they knew that they had an opportunity to give us a finish. I just didn't feel like this was a big finish. Like, I'm going to watch Walking Dead tonight because it feels like something big is coming to a conclusion as they enter into their last season.
How many episodes is the end this last batch of Walking Dead?
It's like nine. It's like 9 or 10, something like that. It's just this last hurrah. This is it. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm talking crazy. Maybe I'm not. Hopefully it gets better for us. What we are going to do, though, is we're going to go into a different direction by taking our first commercial break. When we come back, we're going to take a little visit to the trailer park, talk about a couple of follow-up trailers, and then one less a trailer, more of an announcement, a huge announcement to the MCU. So all that when we come back. You are listening to Bandwagon Nerds on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com. You just came back from listening to a very lukewarm review of Episode 1, Season 3, Episode 1 of Lock and Key. We are going to move on from that, though, and head into the trailer park. And in order to do that, Dave, you know what you got to do. You got to play that beautiful banjo. All right. So I got two true trailers this week, followed by less of a trailer, more of a pair of announcements. But I was struggling as to where to fit it. We didn't have another really sort of big time trailer to talk about, so I included it in the trailer park. So we're going to count it. But before we get to that, the first trailer I want to share, we've heard about this series coming up. I know we've talked about it on previous episodes of Bandwagon Nerds, but we got a full trailer for the HBO Max series The Last of Us, based on the video game franchise of the same name. And I'm gonna lead off here, and I'm gonna lean on Dave because I know that zombie apocalypse horror not exactly Tunney's wheelhouse when it comes to shows. Pretty sure he's not gonna watch this show. This is a very popular video game. This trailer looks like a combination of 28 Days Later and The Walking Dead. I don't know that that's enough for me to get excited about this show. And so I've never played the video games, so I can share that I don't know much about the games themselves, but I am looking for anybody to give me a reason to be interested in this series, because I'm kind of, zombies have ruled the last decade and a half of horror, but I'm feeling played out when it comes to zombies. I'm actually, give me ghost stories. Totally different, right? Completely different. But zombies feel played out. How does The Last of Us and this trailer, one, how is it in comparison to the video game if you've played it? And I know I'm asking a lot out of you, Dave. And then two, what can this series do to distinguish itself from other series and movies within the same genre? What will make it special?
Tony, can you get DP on the phone? I'm sure he's played this game more than I have, but I've played a little bit of it. The game's great. What I've played of it, I think the one thing it might have going for it is that they're trying to do this as a series and not as a movie, which gives them a better opportunity to tell a story. Like what Halo did, which mixed reviews to be sure, but it probably lended itself better to like a series as opposed to trying to do it in a movie. you know, just from the trailer, I think you hit it on the head. It's a mix of 28 Days and The Walking Dead. There are some human elements in the video game that it'll be interesting to see if they can capture that. But yeah, if you're burned out on zombies, if you're burned out on the same old kind of action horror genre where people are trying to survive some sort of apocalyptic event where things are mutating and coming after them, I don't know if there's anything I can say that's going to convince you to give this a try. Other than the fact that, yeah, the trailer looks pretty good. It looks pretty interesting. Anything video game based, it's always been difficult for anybody to kind of make that translate onto the big screen in any fashion in a way that kind of engrosses you and keeps you there. So I don't know. I mean, I didn't see anything in the trailer that says to me, I have to watch this. If I had the time to do it, would I check out some of it? Sure. But I don't know if I can say anything that's going to sell you on it, Pat. Really, it's just kind of the same old stuff, really. It looked like that.
So let me ask this of the group then. This is going to live and die on the strength of the video game fan base.
Same as Halo.
Is that really what's going to happen
same
here?
Same as Halo, yeah.
I mean, that mostly. But, I mean, you also still have your built-in zombie apocalypse fans that not necessarily playing the video game.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, and I think I'm just going to move on from it because I don't know. Like, I've tried to be like, I need to say nice things about this trailer. It looks interesting. Like, it looks good. Like, in terms of just its presentation, it just feels like we've seen it before. So maybe I'll have my mind change after reviews. But then again, I thought, House of the Dragon has been reviewed really well. And I have still yet to watch a second of the Game of Thrones follow-up. And this is after coming from a strong review from one PC Tunney, who is currently giving a thumbs up. So I'm gonna need some strong reviews out there, Nerdosphere, if you want me to tune in to The Last of Us. The next trailer we're gonna share, I share because this is a legacy horror franchise. One that I loved because originally it was built more on the idea of suspense before getting to the violence. It, like much of the horror genres from the late 70s into the 80s, turned into pure slasher fun. Halloween Ends. We get its final trailer before it starts to debut on streaming. Jamie Lee Curtis is back again. This is like the 9 millionth Halloween movie. They're promising it's done. Tunney, is it done?
Sure, I think so. I think the fact that she has maybe figured out that he won't die until she dies, that was kind of an interesting... Mm-hmm.
Cryptic, yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, eventually she's really going to die, so then they won't be doing it anymore, but, you know.
That's a little rough.
Well, I mean, people have been dying since people started being born, so it's not like it's a fucking spoiler.
Fair. Dave, what about you? Is this really it for the Halloween franchise, or maybe is it just it for this iteration of Halloween franchise?
It'll be it until they realize that they need to make some more money off of the Michael Myers name, and then they'll reboot it in about 5 or 7 years. But as far as this run, yeah, I think this is probably it. They've created a difficult timeline, and I haven't watched Halloween Kills. Is that the second one that they did? I haven't seen that one yet. I saw the first one, which I like the first one. I need to watch the second one. It's like, you know, okay, so like Halloween 2 was on the other day. I was watching it with my wife. I was like, whatever you're watching here, babe, remember, it never really happened. So just ignore everything you're watching here. None of this stuff happened, because it goes from Halloween the original to Halloween the reboot. But I don't know. I mean, I like the first one enough. I need to go back and check it out and finish this out, because, you know, Michael Myers is, you know, you're talking one of the archetypes of serial killers from movies that, you know, pervade our consciousness. I mean, him, Jason, Freddy Krueger, those are like the big three of horror movie villains that when you really think about it. So yeah, if this is the end of Michael, I kind of feel like I have to, I'm almost obligated to be there for it in some way. So the trailer looks good. I think Tunney brings up a good point. Maybe Michael can't die unless Laurie goes with him. So I'm interested.
favorite Halloween movie of all time from the series, not the holiday.
Oh, the first. Easy.
The first. Original?
Easy.
And I've shared on this podcast that the original is my favorite of all time because of the nature of the film, that it's not straight up. Like, Tony, I actually think you would kind of like Halloween if you've never seen the original Halloween, because it's not a slasher film in the sense of, like, it is very suspenseful. It's very much knowing that Lori is in danger the whole time. And you see Michael Myers permeate the film until he actually starts to make his move. And it's very, very clever. And I appreciated John Carpenter when he's clever.
Tony, you've never seen the original Halloween? Really?
Not all the way through.
Pat will tell you. I mean, that scene where he's standing in the doorway with the sheet over him and the guy's glasses on after that's just unnerving as hell. But I tell you, man, the movie from the series that just makes out of all of them, and a lot of them don't make sense, but that Season of the Witch, what the hell was that? I've never watched that all the way through because I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
I don't remember the whole story. I really don't. I really don't remember the whole story. It had something to do with...
they play a video and it triggers something or something like that.
Well, there were Halloween masks. They were evil Halloween masks that children would put on, and it was impacted by this commercial, but it had nothing to do with Michael Myers. It had nothing to do with the legend. I don't even remember who was connected to that film. You know, it's largely disavowed as not part of the series. And I'm actually going to just look at it. I mean, it was made in 1982. Just go to Wikipedia. Like, John Carpenter was involved, but he was a producer, but it was written by somebody completely different. Finally, it was just, I don't know. It was something that they tried, and it's funny, on a $2.5 million budget, it still made $14.4 million. Yeah, so the franchise was strong enough.
Yeah, off its name alone. But to me, it always, like, remember when when Friday the 13th, they did like the fourth one, you know, the final chapter, and then A New Beginning, but it wasn't really Jason, it was the ambulance driver, and people got pissed off, so they had to bring him back for real. And it's just, yeah, I mean, if there's money to be made, they're going to bring him back. So.
I mean, and it's found fans years later, but when it's not Michael Myers, that you're not doing the same thing. All right, we've dilly-dallied enough. Let's get to the exciting trailer, if you want to call it that, that dropped. Two trailers that dropped, if we want to call it that, this week, in the middle of the week. I'm gonna brag, and I saw it first, y'all, and got to share it with all you crazy kids. Ryan Reynolds, randomly, I did. No, you didn't. No, you did not. But do I need to go back to the chat and show
going
where
back,
I posted
going back
it first?
To the chat? Where is it? Anyway, talk about it.
Anyway, as we argue over which one of us was the bigger nerd over posting Ryan Reynolds' video in which he starts talking about Deadpool 3 and how he was really, really sorry that they missed D23. Hold up. You should scroll higher.
There's no way you did it.
I definitely.
No way, because I posted it 12 minutes after he tweeted it and checked. And anything, only thing in there was from the day before.
Hold up.
The Ryan Reynolds tweet was me. You put the one with him and Hugh Jackman up, but I had the first one.
No, because you all started talking about, I guess we know what we're going to talk about this week. And if you scroll up higher.
Dave put the IGN thing in.
Nope. You scroll up higher to Tuesday at 5:27 p.m. on 9:27. Patrick O'Dowd, right underneath the Wakanda Forever announcement, posted, to which Ray Cash responded, whole. Lee fuck.
He's right. He's right, Tony.
Bow before your overlord.
Actually,
hold on, everybody.
And you posted it twice, Pat. You posted Ryan's tweet and then Hugh's tweet.
I did that because Ray, thinking I was no selling it, so I reposted it, showing Hugh Jackman saying, yeah, sure, because of the way that he did it.
Okay, I got it.
Tony did the follow-up.
I have it mixed up. You had the first one, and I had the second one.
Yes.
I got it mixed up.
There you go.
There you go.
So you're both
one
right.
One more time, everybody.
You're both right.
Thank you, audience. They also appreciate that you took the time to admit you were wrong.
I had a lot.
Thechairshot.com. always use your head.
Amber giving you the what for.
I'm sorry. This is what happens when the foobar doesn't respond quickly to my clicking. Stop after playback is my friend, and yet I did not stop after playback, and then I did stop after playback, and then I had to restop after playback. So for that, I'm going to just do this. I deserve this. This is all my fault. There we go. Anyway, so Ryan Reynolds sitting on a couch talking about the creative process and how tough it is. And there's all these funny bits. Like they show him like just pouring what appears to be like tequila or vodka into a giant glass. It's that
aviator gin that he manufactured.
His
gin. Aviator gin.
Yeah.
His gin. Him sitting in front of a typewriter in the gray Deadpool uniform. Him sitting on a toilet. He's just like, I've got nothing. Oh, well, I have one idea. Hey, Hugh, do you want to play Wolverine one more time? To which Hugh Jackman, walking by in the background and climbing stairs, says, yeah, sure, Ryan. And then they play Whitney Houston's And I Will Always Love You. And they change. The best part about this whole thing is if you leave the closed captioning on, they change the word you to Hugh in the closed captioning. That's fucking hilarious. And of course, everybody freaked out. They then followed it up because nerds everywhere started breathing through their mouths very, very heavily. But you can't have Wolverine come back. He died in Logan, man. He can't come back. Like, aired all their grievances, were very, very angry. And of course, this is the best part. Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman ready for it. And are like, I know you have a lot of questions. We have some answers for you. They go in to start to talk, and then all of a sudden, what's the song that plays?
Wham's Wake Me Up.
Wham, it's Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. And while they're doing it, they're talking about all this stuff, and there's motions, and, you know, Hugh Jackman is sitting there doing the claw motion and stabbing, you know, Deadpool through the head and all this, and everybody's like, whoa. To which, after the music cuts away, they're like, thank you, Kevin Feige. And it's just, it's hilarious. And this is what I love, is then nerds were like, we need to read their lips, you guys. We need to slow it down and figure out what they're saying. And that's what they did. They tried to figure out what the fuck they were saying.
They didn't say much.
Here's the thing. They didn't say anything. Yeah. They said absolutely nothing. The whole point is to troll your asses, and you just let them do it, which is awesome. Like, you let them troll you. It's like you're in on the joke. At least I really hope you're in on the joke. Because if you weren't in on the joke and you were really trying to translate that shit, then Just go home.
It's a couple hours of your life, like, you'll never get back, but nice try.
Right, like you're wasting your time. Anyway, Hugh Jackman back as Wolverine, starring alongside Ryan Reynolds. These guys are really good friends. Like, they are buddies. They've been buddies for years. This has been a long-running gag between the two of them anyway. On a level of, let's say, I'm going to try to figure out how to do this well. On a level of Mole Man to Doctor Doom, how excited are you for Wolverine and Deadpool in a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie together? David Ungar.
Doctor Doom and beyond, I would have to say. I mean, it's
the Beyonder. No, I didn't okay, give him as a parameter. For
all the right, scale. Well, I'll just go with the Doctor Doom then. I think it's yeah. I mean, all the nerd. You know, nerd stress that's going on about it is one thing, but the biggest thing is that confirmation, September 6, 2024, Deadpool 3. We know Wolverine's going to be there. We know Hugh Jackman's going to be there. So we know mutants, I mean, they've dabbled with it before and intimated, you know, in Ms. Marvel, mutants are a thing. Now, you know, for sure by September 6, 2024, mutants will be in the MCU in one fashion or other, or they'll be introduced in this one. I don't know, but I think it's awesome that they got this in there, that they brought Hugh Jackman back as Wolverine, you know, to kind of maybe transition into whatever else they want to do. But yeah, like you're saying, I love the second trailer where they just steer into the skid about everybody just losing their mind. Wait, how's Wolverine alive? He died in Logan. And they're like, totally separate. We're not touching that. So I'm really excited. I think it's going to be great. Wolverine and Deadpool. I mean, Hugh Jackman, Ryan Reynolds together. Obviously, there's their fake feud. We all know about that. But they're best of friends off the screen. But if you're talking about characters, Deadpool and Wolverine have a healthy history with each other. So there's a lot
There's a lot of content.
I've got, you know, one of the shirts I have is Deadpool and Wolverine next to each other. So they really have a lot to draw from. They're natural antagonists and natural allies in the comics. And I think they can do a lot of great stuff with the story. And it gives them a chance. And I know, low key, I think Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds do want to right the wrong that was X-Men Origins Wolverine and get rid of that once and for all and do something different. So I think it's great. It's exciting. It's and just to drop it like they did, no D23, no Comic-Con. Here you go, out of no, literally like an RKO out of nowhere. This was just bombed out of nowhere. So fantastic stuff.
Tony, your reaction to these announcements?
How much money is this movie going to make? I mean, everybody's been waiting. We'll just start with everybody's been waiting for Deadpool 3, right? So it could have just been that, and we would still be having this conversation right now. It'd be a different conversation. But then everybody's wondering, when we get the X-Men in the Marvel Universe, right? Who's going to play Wolverine? Well, you're going to get it in 2 years. It's going to be Hugh fucking Jackman. I think I can't wait. This is going to be great. I mean, this is definitely a go to a movie theater movie, 1000%. And I'm telling you, 2 years ahead of time, this might be the biggest opening weekend for a Marvel in Marvel's history.
Well, Deadpool's creator, Rob Liefeld, certainly feels that way, as he has already said that he thinks it will be bigger than Endgame. I think that's a bold statement. He has a bold statement, given
the. I agree.
I think it's a bold statement. I'm not saying it won't be.
Yeah.
I think it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
I agree with you, Pat. That's a bold statement, but it could. I mean, there's a chance it could.
So, yeah, I think the hype train is going to be high. I think it'll deliver. Like, I think it's going to be a fun movie no matter what. I hope that the hype train doesn't hurt it the way that I kind of feel like Love and Thunder got hurt, because I think the Taika Waititi Thor hype train hurt it a little bit when the movie wasn't what folks wanted it to be. The thing that I will say is that I have a lot of faith in Ryan Reynolds as a writer. I have a lot of faith in them as creative minds that understand their audience. So between him and Hugh Jackman, I think it'll be really good. But we got 2 years until it comes. This also, you know, fills in another perceived space in our Marvel timeline, phase 5 and beyond. It's starting to come into play. A lot of mutants are starting to show up more and more. And these are two clear mutants. Like, you know, we didn't talk about this, but one of the other things that came out, and I didn't put it in the news bites of the articles, they're making it very clear that Namor is a mutant in Wakanda Forever. Like, that has been said time and time again. Mutants are the real deal. They are here. And I think everybody just assumed it was going to be an X-Men, right? Like, that X-Men were going to be how we introduced mutants into the MCU. And they haven't gone that way. And I kind of like that they haven't gone that way. It reiterates my point, which is why I like it, because it makes me sound smart, that MCU does their own canon. And their own canon is separate. And that's why, Ray Cash, World War Hulk will be perfectly acceptable and a wonderful film for us to watch and enjoy. See how even when he's not here, I get him?
That's funny.
Anyway. Yeah, so I'm right there with you guys. I can't wait. Maybe we see more at our next San Diego Comic-Con. So I kind of hope not. I kind of hope they continue to do this virally like this. Like, I like this sort of introduction marketing campaign that they're doing. It's different. And it's very on brand with the characters.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of how The Boys do their kind of thing, you know, where it's not necessarily the characters like The Boys are, but, you know, it's Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman. They're a couple of characters.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you mentioned the boys. You know, their season three ad campaign wasn't really an ad campaign. It was that Vought News, those Vought News videos were how they really got things going with season three. I thought that was brilliant. I thought it was genius. So good on them. More to come. That's going to do it for the trailer park, guys. We are moving right along. We are going to head into our second commercial break where we've got some news around the Nerdosphere to cover. We're going to talk some Marvel, some more Marvel news, some more MCU stuff. And then we'll get into some nitty gritty news about Warner Brothers Discovery, because we can't get enough of this company and they keep giving us things that are worthy to go over. So stick around for that. We'll see you on the flip side. You are listening to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
All right, everyone, welcome back. I would be remiss if I didn't remind you all, though, before we get into our news, that if you love what we do here at the Chairshot Radio Network and thechairshot.com, and you want to hear all of the great content that we put out every single day on your internet airwaves, the best way to keep us going, the best way to support us, is to head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and invest in one of our many great, awesome, superb, spectacular, stupendous, phenomenal, delightful t-shirt designs. We have everything a fan of the Chairshot Radio Network could want to purchase. Everything. I'm telling you, we've got Bandwagon Nerd shirts. We've got OG Chairshot logos. We've got sayings from the shows. Say you hate Craig DeMarco like a lot of us do. We got an Everybody Hates Craig shirt. Maybe you just hate Baron Corbin because you're a wrestling fan and you recognize he sucks. We got a Baron Corbin sucks shirt. We've got so many great designs out there. They are reasonably priced at $19.99. But if you're feeling fancy, spend a few dollars more. Get it soft style. It feels great on your giblets. You'll feel fancy. It's wonderful. Your skin will thank you. It's terrific. We love doing this. We love talking nerdy shit on this radio station every Sunday for you to listen to on Monday. We want you to support us. We want you to get our name out there. And the best way you can help us to do that is to rep the brand. Head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and invest in us. We appreciate it. We thank you. And we hope to see those logos out there soon. As Christopher Platt would say, please and thank you. Thank you and please. All right, gentlemen, it's time for a little news around the Nerdosphere. Not a lot of Marvel news. So for today, a little bit of Marvel music to kick us off. Okay, so in a rare week, there was all this excitement about Wolverine and Deadpool, and that news sort of dominated the MCU for a bit. But there are some problems surrounding the film announced in 2019 now, which is hard to believe it's been that long, Blade. Where famously at the 2019 San Diego Comic-Con, at the end of the Marvel panel, Mahershala Ali walked out and it was announced that Blade would be entering into the MCU. That movie is slated, or was slated, to release in November of 2023. Gentlemen, it's not looking good. Reports came out this week that Bassam Tariq, the director that was slated to take on the helm of Blade, has left due to a scheduling conflict. Now, it is being reported that he is remaining on as an executive producer. It doesn't seem like it's a creative difference thing, a la what happened with the Ant-Man and Peyton. I'm going to forget his last name. But the original director of Ant-Man, that relationship fell apart due to creative differences. It doesn't seem like that. There's all kinds of negative rumors, though, swirling around this. And I posted one rumor that has now been thoroughly debunked, so I didn't put it in our rundown. Because one of the rumors was that Sam Raimi was going to take over directing per Variety, but then Variety has nothing up. So Hollywood, who's the what's it that posted that article, was really just pulling shit out of its ass. I have no idea where that came from. There are rumors that Mahershala Ali is very frustrated with the Marvel filmmaking process, that there have been concerns about how complete the script may actually be. And all of this seems to be pointing towards it's gotta be delayed. Like, there's no way this thing's getting out on time. If we don't have a script, we don't have a director, we just have an executive producer. I'm a little worried here, Dave. I don't know that I'm worried in the sense that I don't think the film won't get made, because that's just not been MCU's track record. I'm actually worried they're going to keep their star. Like, of all the things that could fall apart, you've announced Mahershala Ali. This, you know, scheduling conflicts and changes and things falling apart, that worries me a little bit. So, Dave, I defer to you first. How worried are you? On a scale of Mole Man to Dr. Doom, how worried are you about
that? There's your title of your show.
Mole Man to Dr. Doom.
On a scale of Mole Man to Dr. Doom.
I need Ray here to tell me who's a C-level villain. You know, I would probably put it somewhere there as far as like on a five or something like that. I think it sounds like, you know, the production schedule for Blade, which keeps getting modified and adjusted, resulted in the loss of the director. But yeah, I mean, they're supposed to start filming in November. There's just no way. No way they're going to be able to start doing that. I mean, even if you're just lightning fast and get a director in place next week, still got to run stuff by him. You still got to write it a certain way. You know, they're talking about the script not being done, things not being finalized. I'm a little bit concerned. I'm not concerned we're going to go down the whole New Mutants rabbit hole where it gets delayed 25 times and it takes 10 years to get out and that sort of thing. But there's no way it's coming out next year. I mean, 2024, best case scenario. And, you know, maybe if you wanted to, you know, Blade and Deadpool have a little bit of a history. I'm just throwing that out there. So maybe you bring him into Deadpool 3 and try and introduce him that way if these problems persist. But, yeah, definitely a little bit concerned about what's going on with the show, the movie. I'm sure it's going to come out, but I would expect at least a 1 year delay at this point. I don't see how you avoid that.
PC Tony.
Do you think Mahershala Ali would I think the threshold of him not wanting to do this anymore and not play this role is pretty fucking high. So I don't think they're going to lose him to that point. At least they're not pulling a DC and went along with some things that didn't look good and then film it and not show it to anybody. And, you know, sorry. Hey, I'm being fair, right? The DC guy just ripped on DC. So I don't know. I think Blade's just too important to get it wrong. So the right time for it to come out is when they get it right, to me. And I don't see Ali going anywhere. So that's kind of my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, it has, like, we haven't had these sort of casting switches in a long time. You know, the most prominent one being Edward Norton, not, you know, as the Hulk in the Incredible Hulk film, and then due to creative and differences and timing differences, he ultimately did not remain in the role. They handed it over to Mark Ruffalo. That seemed to go fine. Same thing with Don Cheadle, who I'm sure has been thrilled that the pay differences that Terrence, God, what's his last name? Terrence Howard. Yeah, Terrence Howard, who was originally cast in the role of Rhodey. Like, I don't think this is anything like that. Mahershala Ali has technically shown up as Blade in the MCU already, as he was part of the post-credit tag of the Eternals. But if they recast Blade, I would be disappointed, because Mahershala Ali is a hell of an actor, but it's not something that Feige and the MCU have been unwilling to do.
I could think of a million reasons why that's not going to happen, Pat. Just throwing
it out. I didn't say
it
was going to happen. I didn't say that it was going to happen.
I don't see him leaving for a million.
I'm just saying it's
yeah, like frustration is one thing. Walking away from that kind of a that kind of exposure, that kind of role, that kind of money. A 1 year delay.
But he can do it.
He could, sure.
Like it's not like he's gonna be broke. Not like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying he's going to either. I'm just saying it's
where's
not
Wesley Snipes at right now.
Lobbying to get a cameo in the new Blade.
See?
That's
Casino.
Like he's actually done that. For your obscure Wesley Snipes movie references, please see PC Tiny.
Oh, look at that.
I'm not saying I'm concerned about it. I'm not saying that it's going to happen. I'm just saying it's not unusual for her. You know, it's not like right. Marvel doesn't have the fortitude to do that and that they would be able to cast somebody that we would be okay with in the role. So that's all I'm saying there. What it does seem to imply is that it sounds like the Marvels is going to move into that November 3rd slot that November 2023 slot that was originally for Blade. I don't know that that's a terrible thing necessarily. That film is clearly further along and it has already has an inroad to its story. So I think that's not necessarily the terrible thing. One of the other interesting news bits that did come out this week as a transition to another Marvel news piece is allegedly, and I say allegedly, maybe rumor has it, yes, lasers, that the Armor Wars series starring Don Cheadle is no longer going to be a double, is no longer going to be a Disney Plus series, that it is now going to turn into a feature film that will push the title further down the development site. This is coming from the Hollywood Reporter, by the way. So this is a fairly reputable source. Like, this isn't a news agency that sort of puts things out flippantly. But that it's, you know, it's going to push it back further than its originally planned thing. I think Armor Wars was supposed to be like a significant series. Tony, do you care? What does this mean? Like, do you think that it's that they looked at this series and they just don't see a series there? Like, there's just not enough meat on the bone? I don't know. I don't know what to make of this one.
Right. There's really only two things that it could be, right? Either there's not enough there to have that much more content, or in almost the same fashion, it just fits better as a movie, right? But aren't those kind of the same fucking thing when you know what I mean? Or the only other thing I can think of is maybe they think they'll make more money putting it out as a movie as opposed to, you know, on stream, Disney Plus streaming. I don't know. It's an interesting story that they're going to tell. I mean, I think Don Cheadle can definitely carry. He could have carried a series or a movie, but I guess that's a credit to Don Cheadle because he's a guy who not only could carry a series on a streaming network, but he could also provide numbers at the box office. So maybe someone came in and said, "Why don't we make a little bit more money and put it in theaters?" Maybe there's multiple. Maybe they're going to have more than one. Maybe they'll have more than one if this is good, right?
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. I'm not sure. Dave, your thoughts here.
I feel like maybe they thought that we need to develop the Iron Man kind of side universe a little bit more, to try and draw people back. Cause what we got, the Ironheart series is coming up, which I presume is going to be kind of the lead in to Armor Wars. And, you know, it feels like maybe they thought that this is something that, I agree with you guys, like not enough meat on the bone to do a full blown series out of this kind of thing. This is better suited for a movie. It's something we've talked about on the show several times in the past, you know, movie versus series, which is a better storytelling medium. Well, for some things, you know, shows like She-Hulk, Miss Marvel, a series is better. Armor Wars is the kind of thing where you look at it and say, yeah, I mean, it's a great story, but how do you stretch that out over 8 episodes? So maybe it's just something better you can do in a 2-hour movie. You know, I thought one of the things I posted this week is speculation that maybe this will be a way to bring back a multiversal version of Iron Man if Robert Downey Jr. is willing to do it, which I know a lot of people want. I don't think that's going to happen, but it lends itself to that possibility. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, Armor Wars is a really cool story about tech gone wrong, tech being in the wrong hands and that sort of thing. And I just feel like maybe they want to solidify and establish more of that tech background that they thought, you know, we can't do that just solely off Ironheart. Let's bring in a couple of other elements that we've got planned down the line. And then we'll bring this Armor Wars in as a big 2-hour movie. And if they are going to bring back Iron Man in some fashion, probably more impactful in a movie than it would be in a series.
Yeah, it is. It just feels like such an odd move. This actually, to me, like these two pieces of news kind of tells me that the future of Marvel, you know, in terms of a movie slate, is a little more in flux than it's been in a long time. And I've been very much Kevin Bacon and Animal House being like, all is well. The goodwill still makes me feel like it's going to be all right. This is the first one that actually made me raise my eyebrows a little bit and be like, what's happening? Like, what's going on? What do we actually have here? And I haven't been like that in a while when it's come to the MCU. So maybe mildly interested, you know, in the scale of Mole Man to Doctor Doom. I'm probably, I don't know, maybe a member of the Wrecking Crew.
The Lizard.
Maybe the Lizard or the Vulture. Yeah, maybe the Vulture. I think the Vulture might be where I would be, is the Vulture. So, yeah, I guess more on that as we learn. Here's the thing. We're going to learn a lot about Riri in about a month, almost to the day. And that Wakanda Forever film is lengthy. It's 2 hours and 40 some minutes long. Like, it is a full slate, pack a lunch, make sure you've got a seat next to an aisle, so if you need a restroom break, you can get there, because you're going to be there for a while. And presumably that's where we'll see the subject of our last bullet point that I'm springing on you. But it came up late and has actually gained some traction in the last couple of days. Somebody leaked a trailer, Dave. Somebody, and Ray Cash.
I'm glad you're mentioning this. I'm glad you're mentioning this.
Ray Cash shared it first, but it got taken down. I shared it after Ray Cash did because it got taken down. I don't know if my version has been taken down or not, but somebody filmed the Ant-Man Quantumania. It looks like the San Diego Comic-Con trailer. Or at least what was reported out of the San Diego Comic-Con trailer. But we get our first badly distorted look at Ant-Man Quantumania. And this is doubly ironic as it comes on the heels of the director of Ant-Man Quantumania being like, oh yeah, the trailer's going to hit online this fall. And then, I mean, technically he didn't lie, but it didn't come from Marvel. We got a bootleg look. Dave, I know you demand trailers super early. There's just a lot of shit going on for Kevin Feige to manage right now. But I watched that trailer. I'm not going to lie. I watched the bootleg just to hear what people said about that. Because it's the Comic-Con trailer. Like, the whole description is the San Diego Comic-Con trailer. So that's what people saw and what got out. Yeah, what do we think?
Ominous a little bit. I mean, Kang, for people who didn't see it, I mean, I'm sure it's floating around out there somewhere, or it may be released in a couple weeks anyway. But yeah, Kang talking about killing Avengers in different timelines. And didn't he ask him, have I killed you before? I mean, yep. Wow. That's, I mean, and it does, and you get to see the big thing I took from it is when you compare Kang from Loki, who's kind of elusive, almost playful to a certain extent. This is not that version of Kang that we see in this trailer. This is the much more serious, sadistic, kind of, you know, malevolent version of Kang that we, you and I, Pat, and Tunney, to a lesser extent, I know, we know that he exists and can be a major, major problem. So for him to say, basically say, I've killed Avengers in other timelines. Have I killed you before? I don't remember. But almost minimizing and then calling him Ant-Man at the end. And it's like, wow, you know, I never thought about it. But yeah, that is kind of minimizing him to a certain extent. even though that's who he is. So the trailer is very interesting. Like you said, a lot of stuff's going on. A lot of it hard to make out because, like you're saying, it's bootlegged. It's not the greatest quality. It's not HD or UHD or something like that. But yeah, a lot of stuff going on in that trailer. And like you're saying, Pat, Kevin Feige's got a lot on his plate to manage to try and make it make sense. You know, where does Blade fit in with this whole thing? When are we going to bring this character in? When are we going to bring these guys in? We've got so much that we want to do and trying to keep it all flowing and cohesive. Whew, good luck, Kevin. Love you, Kevin Feige, but good luck.
Tony, did you have a chance to check out the bootleg trailer?
Yeah, I just kind of caught up on it right there. A lot of great points from Dave. You know, it's funny, you kind of forget all the big, huge fucking actors that are in that movie series. But what is it? Is there a possibility they did this on purpose?
I mean, it hasn't been hard to keep that thing. Like, they haven't worked too hard to take it down. If I were to put it out there, like
someone was like, "Hey, let's do just something different. Let's just put it out like this and see what happens." I mean, there's a little bit more to the conversation. The conversation's a little deeper when it gets seen like this, right, as opposed to all here and it just being given, right? You feel like you're getting something that you weren't supposed to, so it feels more important.
And you look at the way they got everything else out this week with the Ryan Reynolds stuff, and then, oh, here's this as well. It's very unorthodox, but extraordinarily effective.
Yeah, I can't argue any of that. What it does tell me is, kids, I'd pay attention to your internet this week. I'd pay attention to your socials this week. Maybe the next couple, maybe the next few days or so, because it wouldn't surprise me if we just say fuck it and it hits. Like, that's really, at the end of the day, that's what this kind of tells me, is we're going to see it soon. We are on the precipice of Dave getting what he wants.
I just love the
Quantumania trailer.
I love the fact that they are keeping us guessing. The MCU is keeping everybody you don't know where this stuff is coming from and when. And it's beautiful, because for fans, you love surprises, and they're just coming at you from all these directions you don't expect. It's like, oh, but like you're saying, Pat, keep an eye on your Twitter feed and everything else going on. And of course, listen to Bandwagon Nerds, where we will, or even follow our Twitter feed. We'll try and keep you up to date.
Yeah, I'm sure if a full trailer shows up next week, you guys will break it down without me, as you should. And as we would be doing a disservice to our fans if we did not. Okay. Moving on to one of Dave's favorite things, talking about Warner Brothers Discovery and just how terrible they are. A news report was dropped by The Wrap this week, amongst others, that perhaps, I can't remember who, I think this one might have been shared by Ray to the group as I went through trying to put this together, but that Warner Brothers, they have cooked, as it's described, the HBO Max subscriber numbers to the tune of 10 million subscribers. An Illinois Police Pension Board brought this suit forward, suggesting hundreds of thousands of Discovery shareholders were duped. Basically, what they're saying is that the value was inflated in such a way to convince these people to sell off their shares. And then at the time of the merger, the value was significantly less than what they were told it was worth when they gave up those shares. And basically, for those of you who don't know, some pensions invest in stocks and bonds and other sort of, you know, trade to build your pension and your retirement. And, you know, when you go into HR sometimes, depending on where you're going, you'll have this option to choose. Like, you could choose like a conservative investment pension. You can conserve, you know, something that's considered moderate, relatively safe, or you could choose to be aggressive. And, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a higher risk, higher reward sort of thing for your pension as you go. Sort of depends on how it all plays out in the wash when you come to retire, which, for the record, is a horrible way to determine your retirement. But it is a way that it gets done. And these police officers in Illinois, from Collinsville, Illinois, down south, they sued as it accepted in trade for its pre-merger Class C common Discovery shares, something that was trading at just 11 bucks. But we're told it was valued at around 25. Now, that's a big difference depending on how many shares you have. Dave, you're the lawyer. I'm going to turn it over to you. Yikes. And how much attention should this little lawsuit be given?
If you're a shareholder of WB Discovery right now, yeah, you should be concerned that if they cook the numbers like that to deliberately inflate the value of stock to, yeah, coerce is the way I would actually look at it, is well, maybe not coerce, misrepresent is a better term, misrepresenting the value in order to facilitate this merger taking place to the detriment of, you know, legit shareholders like pension holders who invested in this. I'm assuming it was a fund, and one of the stocks was a WB Discovery as part of like an index fund or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, that's a definite problem. I mean, that's where you get the Securities and Exchange Commission knocking on your door saying, gentlemen, we need to have a conversation about a fraud perpetrated on, you know, not just these guys, but anybody who kind of sold their shares or was kind of facilitating the merger of these two companies due to a misrepresentation as to the value of one company over another. Yeah, I don't dabble in this area of law, but I know enough to know that that's a problem. that's a big problem that can get you in a lot of trouble. And I don't know if they can void the merger after the fact. I doubt it. But certainly class action lawsuit on a much grander scale is in the offing for WB Discovery if that's actually what they did.
Tony, how's your retirement looking with all those Warner Brothers Discovery shares you've got going?
Yeah, right. You know, didn't we question this? Like, why Discovery? Didn't we like question, like, thinking HBO Max was, you know, that something was wrong? I was like, I even brought up the fact of like short selling and things of that nature. And it's almost like a kind of a bizarro version of that, right? I mean, it's just a lot of weird shit, and it's just a bunch of fucking rich people lying to fucking people that have less money so they can have more money. That's really what it is comes down to, right? I mean, somebody's going to pay for this. I don't know who, but somebody's going to pay for it. And good on the villain for figuring this out. I mean, finally, after years of the Rob Blagojevich era, some kind of Illinois government comes through and gets something right.
No, there's no such thing as a clean Illinois government. I guarantee you that. The history of Illinois politics is long and dirty.
I'm just looking at WB.
Yeah, this is
WB Discovery stock last 3 months down 17.6%. So you can see where it's trending.
Yeah, it is not going well. So yeah, cooking the books, just an added problem for that. And yeah, like kudos to the Collinsville Police Department for filing that suit. I am very interested to see what actually turns up, what evidence actually turns up, as, you know, I still get HBO Max subscriber commercials in my various social media feeds. It's kind of hilarious. Like this company that's going under, sign up for this, or not really going under, but going away, the streaming service that's going away and getting changed. That's story number one. The other story that we're going to visit actually involves both Warner Brothers Discovery as well as Disney Plus. But the stories are shared in a couple of different ways. We have known for a while through HBO Max that Warner Brothers has been taking various content off of the platform as this transition to Discovery happens. And I want to share that this story that we're talking about comes from somebody on Twitter sharing two different screenshots talking about the future they're heading towards. And one of them is in regards to digital media owned by Warner Brothers no longer being available to you after you purchased it. The other is a screenshot of news talking about how Marvel Studios won't be releasing physical copies of their Disney Plus shows for people to buy. both of these, I titled this section under our rundown, and we've, and again, I've talked about this before, as an old fuddy-duddy who shakes his hand, you know, shakes his fist at clouds when it comes to this sort of stuff and is absolutely embracing the curmudgeon role. But I titled this, "Your Digital Content Doesn't Belong to You." And these two are Exhibit A and Exhibit B of why this is so. And whether we like it or not, I actually think that's relatively irrelevant. It's the world we're going towards and living in. Digital is the answer. And the convenience of digital media has made fossils like me, who still want to get a Blu-ray, have to pay attention. Even Thor Love and Thunder, by the way, which I'm not buying because I, you know, the more and more I watch it, the less I like that movie. But they're even talking about certain editions of Thor Love and Thunder being limited one time or limited time only releases, to where certain pieces of content that they're making a part of that release will only be available in this one time purchase physically. You know, and if you go onto Disney Plus, you know, a lot of those special features that you would find on a Blu-ray are now along with the movie that you find on Disney Plus. So there's so much media to consume anyway, and I get that. But Tony, I'll go with you first. Your reactions to this sort of, you know, finally seeing what we've talked about on this show in the past, your digital content isn't really your content.
I mean, as far as like, it's kind of shitty, like reading that and people had like things in their library that they thought they had more time to watch and weren't updated on it. That's kind of crappy as a streaming service. But when you're paying for a streaming service, in that sense, like you're only paying for what they're giving you, right? The limited digital release kind of thing reminds me of Disney and everything they do with their limited release of physical copies of animated motion pictures. So it makes sense. It's fine. They can always kind of redo it. And if you really need to have a copy at your disposal to watch anytime you want, regardless of whether it's on streaming or somewhere free for you to watch, then go buy an actual digital video recorder that will record what's on your TV while it's playing, and you'll have whatever you want, and you can pay for all the memory in the fucking world. So there's solutions to these problems. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Personally, I don't even have a fucking DVD or Blu-ray player. I guess technically I do in my gaming device, but I haven't put a Blu-ray or DVD in a fucking player in years.
It's That's funny just my that take you on mentioned it. That. It's funny they mentioned that, as I currently have the program paused right now as I was watching some 90s throwback DVDs earlier today. I do want to mention Bandwagoners does not endorse the illegal recording of copyrighted content via your digital recorder.
Yeah, but if you're not selling it, there's nothing wrong with that.
Dave, is that true?
If you're just watching it, what are you talking about? Recording something on your DVR and watching it later, or what are you talking about?
Like, digitally recording, like you could, like you could use a digital video recorder, not one you get from your provider, your service provider, but you could go out and buy one and record something on your TV like a VCR would, right? So like, if you really wanted a hard copy of something, like you just record it and you don't charge anybody to watch it and you don't sell it, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah. I mean, if you had a separate DVR and you recorded something to that or transferred something over into a hard drive of some sort, I guess. I mean, the problem with all this, I mean, even if you own a physical copy of it, you still only, here's the thing, you only ever own the license to use something. You never actually own the physical property. Even if you own a DVD or a Blu-ray, you don't technically own that movie, because you can't turn around and say, hey, I'm gonna show Endgame on my backyard, charge people $5 a copy. Now, even though you own a copy of that, you can't do that. So you only ever own the license to this content. You have the right to use it for your own personal use. You can't use it for commercial, blah blah blah, so forth and so on. And you know, I think that's always been the risk of these things, is that, you know, whether you're talking movies, whether you're talking games, whether you're talking music, you only ever own a license to use it for your own personal consumption. they can revoke that license at will. We've seen anybody who's playing a modern video game has to go through that whole stupid EULA at the beginning of the game. And, you know, even if you don't read it, you still got to scroll to the bottom and click, yeah, I've read all this bullshit, and then I can play the game. So it's, I mean, it's a problem because, you know, you're at their whim. And I mean, the good thing about the physical medium is that even though you don't own it, they're not going to come into your house and take it from you, because that creates all sorts of eminent domain problems, trespass, other fun things like that. But can they go and delete something digitally from your library? Absolutely. And we're seeing that happen. I've seen it happen with DLC on video games before, that stuff just disappears because somebody made a decision. Like Rock Band, if you've downloaded certain songs on Rock Band and they lose the license with the artist for those songs vanish. You know, and it's disturbing, but it's the way it is. So, yeah, I mean, you're at these guys' whim. It's another sign of just whatever WB Discovery is kind of playing with as far as what kind of content they want to have out there and what they don't. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Pat. Unless you've got the physical product, you are really subject to the whim of anybody. At the same time, and they're pushing digital medium as it's got less of an environmental footprint, which is true. You don't have to worry about shelf space and that sort of thing, but they've got you by the short hairs as far as like your ability to watch something, consume something, enjoy something. You are really at their whim, and this is an example of that.
All that is to say, hipsters will continue to buy old physical media, so there'll still be a market out there. Look at the vinyl market these days. So if I really want it, like, I'll go out and buy it. That's been a thing. If they'll produce it, I'm actually more troubled by the Disney Plus report of not producing physical media.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's
just like, yeah, like that to me, like the stop of production, that's a bummer.
It's a cost saving mechanism for sure, but it sucks for the consumer.
Anyway, all that is to say, everything sucks and we don't own anything. And as Tony likes to talk about, rich people just continue to get rich and take advantage of poor people. And that's what they're doing here. They're going to own that content, hold it over your head, because that's what they can do. And we are a consumer media. Like, we're consumer people. Like, that's what we do. We consume media. We want it. We want availability to it. And they're going to make us feel special by allowing us to get it. And that's how we are controlled, gentlemen. We are slaves to the proverbial man, the overlords, puppets on a string. On a scale of Mole Man to Dr. Doom, they are Dr. Doom. All right, gentlemen, light show this week, under an hour and a half even. Look at us go. Before we get out of here, though, let's do a quick once around. Tell everybody where they can find you on the Chair Shot Radio Network and in the social medias.
Dave, I'll go first.
Go ahead, Tony.
Oh, I'm sorry. I always have to tell you what to do. That's my fault.
Yeah, we can't make decisions for ourselves.
You can't make decisions. What are you going to do next week? I mean, listening to Daryl and John.
You've made my lunch for every day for the last 8 years for school. Now, how am I supposed to order this hot lunch thing when I get there?
Damn,
all right,
it,
you can
Mom.
Follow me at PC Tunny. You can follow me at PC Tunny. Listen to everything Chair Shot Radio Network. Chairshot NFL, follow that. Got some good stuff coming out there. And then, of course, the top 100 over at the DWI podcast. So there you go. Big Dave?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter trying to find a new football team to root for, because the Commanders absolutely suck. But otherwise, you can find me on
Bears
Twitter.
Fan.
You've got nothing on me. But anyway, you can find me on Twitter at AttitudeAgg. That is at AttitudeAgg. Facebook.com/AttitudeOfAggression. And of course, at Bandwagon Nerds. Don't forget about the homepage, so to speak.
Yeah, by the way, I think we're going to put a poll up this week on Bandwagon Nerds. Just a simple one. All these titles. We're going to start with most iconic horror villains. We'll list three or four up there. See if we can get some votes and some activity. All this Michael Myers talk got me excited. So look for that on the Bandwagon Nerds Twitter account, at Bandwagon Nerds. You can follow me at Wrestling Realist. That is at WRESTLNGREALIST. You can listen to me every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday on the Chair Shot Radio Network. Mondays here on the Bandwagon. Tuesdays with David Ungard. We just wrapped up Musical Chairs Season 2. Very excited about that. And we'll start Hockey Talk in a couple of weeks. And then on Wednesdays, it is myself, Greg DeMarco, and Miranda Morales on the Greg DeMarco Show talking wrestling. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Bandwagon Nerds. Now get yourself out of the basement, get yourself some sun, and then start ranking people on a scale of Mole Man to Dr. Doom. You have been listening to Bandwagon Nerds on the Chair Shot Radio Network, a part of the chairshot.com.
Is that you? Yeah, Stryker finally figured out how to shut you up.
Hey, it's me. Don't scratch. Just cleaning up the timelines. Look, eventually, you're going to hang up the claws, and it's going to make a lot of people very sad.
Huh?
But one day, your old pal Wade's going to ask you to get back in the saddle again. When he does, say yes.
Oh, right.
Love you.
God damn, that's beautiful.
You're welcome, Canada.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.